Okay, so we've got December 7th, 2016, which corresponds to the 7th of Kislev, Tavshinai and Zion, correct? So so a couple of, as we mentioned yesterday, there's a big Ramban here, which we'll cover. Maybe we'll cover some other things first, and then get into that Ramban with the time that we have left. So the first thing is with the issue of the Peter Chamor, the idea of redeeming the donkey. So why is it that the donkeys are the one non-kosher animal that are zochet to such a mitzvah? So this is in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel. It says, Peter Chamor tiftev iseh, v'im lo tiftev arafto. If you don't redeem it, you'll break its neck. V'chol b'chor adam b'vanecha tiftev. You'll also do redemption of all of the firstborn sons. So Rashi already there jumps in and says, why did manishtana ha behima hazeh mikol behemos? Why is this animal different than all other non-kosher animals? So he says, well, because the Bechorei Mitzrayim are compared to Chamorim. What did that mean? So it's unclear what that means. I don't know. The Sichon doesn't say what that means. And then he continues on and says, and also because they helped the Jews when they left Egypt, that the donkeys were assistant. The Jews loaded up their donkeys in order to leave Egypt. So therefore, therefore what? Therefore, they have some amount of right. Well, so what exactly is that thing? So the Sforno picks up on this. The Sforno adds in a little bit more, and the next pasuk, because the next pasuk continues with Vayaki Shalcha Vincha Machar Lemor Mazos. That will be that when your sons ask tomorrow, right, the next day, what's this? So what do we say what this is? So we immediately say, oh, I know that question. That question is asked by the Tam in the of the four in the four sons in Magen. That's where I know that question from. So Sforno says, no. Mazos is going on the previous pasuk. Right, when your sons ask this question of why are you what are you doing with a donkey? Why are you redeeming the donkey as opposed to all other animals? That's the question of Mazos. And your response is, oh, b'chozik yarotzi Hashem Mitzrayim b'yisavdim. So with a strong hand, Hashem took us out of Egypt. So the Sforno then turns around and says, okay, what does that mean? How does that answer the question of why am I taking out the Chamor? Why does the Chamor get the special status? So he explains, Bechozek Yadam, with the strong hand of Hashem, Bechozek Yadam Shel Mitzrayim, that he held the hands of Egypt, held them back, that Hashem took us out as it says, V'techazek Mitzrayim Al'am, that the Mitzrayim were strong against the nation, or V'techazek Mitzrayim Al'am, imposed themselves upon the nation, Be'ofen Shelo Yacholnu Laseis Nichseinu Ba'galos K'minug Mitzrayim, in a way that we weren't able to go and get wagons. But we know, how do we know, which is the way they did in Egypt. In Egypt, they didn't transport things by just loading up donkeys. They transported things by loading wagons. Where do we see that? That's very good, right? When Yosef came back, when Yosef sent the food back to Yaakov, he sent it with wagons. So we see the general practice in Egypt was to transport with wagons. But the Jews didn't use the wagons, they used donkeys. Yeah?
They were learning before he went to
Agalah, the Agla Rufa, right. Yeah, but
that was the common
Right, I mean, he's not picking on that medrash. He's saying, yeah, that he didn't. I'm adding that in. How do we see that? He just says the Midrash Mitzrayim was to use wagons. The Midrash of most people is to use wagons. Why are they just only loading up donkeys? But Hutzichu Lasis Bechamor, they could only load up donkeys because they didn't have time. They couldn't go. Not everyone could go to Ryder or U-Haul and rent the those things that you schlep. So Vinasi Behem Nes Shehi Spiku Lazeh Bechamor Rega. But the miracle happened was that the donkeys were even able to carry all their stuff without the wagons by just using the donkeys themselves. And therefore they retained some amount of kedusha because they were used by Hashem for this mitzvah of getting the Jews out of Egypt. Therefore they retain kedusha and therefore they require pidyon. That's that's the Sforno's take on it. Yeah.
Prairie Hill, a couple months ago, they had a
pidyon. Yes. It's becoming a little more and more popular. The communities do this. They for a donkey. Yes.
They make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, they make a big deal out of it.
What do you do?
The same as you're poda it. You use the sheep, and then the sheep is given to, and then the sheep is left to roam, and the kedusha is put on the sheep. But you could check, right? You could find online in the Hasidic world they do these kinds of things. There's even on YouTube a video of a pidyon Peter Chamor ceremony taking place in Hawaii. There was a Chabad shliach in Hawaii that that did a Petra Chamor ceremony with one of the locals there. I mean, that one's for real. I mean, some of these that they do nowadays, they purposely set up to do the mitzvah, which is fine. I mean, that's a nice thing to do. Like, they buy a donkey and hope that it gives birth, right? And they work it out that way. But some of them are for real. Like, you have Jewish farmers, right? Such things do exist, and they have firstborn donkeys, and you got to do something with them. So that's when the mitzvah. That's what some of these are doing.
I know the story. This one in Vineland, New Jersey, is where this bechor came from. There's a family that has a slaughterhouse, Beard Brothers, mm-hmm. and they have animals on the property for pets.
Right.
They have two donkeys, and one of them gave birth, and it was a bechor. And so they provided the donkey to the Cherry Hill community to have this.
Right. So. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, you can track these ceremonies down every once in a while. There's one in Baltimore a few years ago. It's, just Google a little bit. It's not so hard to find these things. Yeah?
Donkeys from Egypt. When they crossed the Red Sea, there's no stories about donkeys going through, too, right? I don't have any report.
I don't know. We'll get up to it, but I just assume that they were with, they were with everyone else, yeah. So. Right, so then there's another connection that the Sforno explains is the next pasuk. Vayiki shaparo l'shalchenu v'yarog Hashem kol b'chor b'yaretz Yisrael. That when the Paro hardened his heart to not send us out, so Hashem killed all the b'chorim in the land of Egypt. So what does it mean, harden his heart? What animals are known for hardening their heart and not what? Donkeys, right? So that's what the Sforno says. V'yosha Paro hiksha l'shalchenu. That Paro had difficulty sending us out. V'hu nimsha l'chamor. And he was compared to a chamor. Karma shir basar chamrim basaram, as there's a pasuk in Yecheskel that seems to indicate that we were being held up by the donkey. V'ya yachu liftos atzmo v'imo b'shalchos Yisrael. He could be poda himself when he sent the Jews out. Sheheim nimshalim l'zeh. And the Jews are compared to a sheep. So Paro could have redeemed himself by giving up on his donkeyness and allowing these sheep to go out.
The Talmud call about the goat as being representing the stubborn animal?
Who does?
The Talmud. I heard something like they compare
Claudius Rose.
Right, but they say donkey. They say that goats are like that. Okay, so vayrog Hashem, so Hashem vahakel harog es hanimshal l'chamor kasher l'nifta b'seh. So Hashem, right, when Paro wouldn't do it, when Paro wouldn't allow the sheep to go, so Hashem killed him. Right, when he wasn't poda, he had the opportunity to be poda himself for sheep, but instead he didn't. So therefore, he gets killed. Kol b'chor b'yaretz Yisrael vayu b'chorei yisol ruim l'kos aymahem al derech pentes umeir v'atzilim b'meshek dishem lo. Kol b'chor b'yaretz Mitzrayim, that the Jews could have been killed, and the fact that they weren't, so Hashem, that they were saved, and therefore because they were saved, why were they saved? They were saved in order to do avoda. At that time, remember, the Bechorim were the ones that were going to be the priests. So they were saved in order to do avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore they're sort of sanctified to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order for them to lose their sanctification, therefore we have to be opposed to them, and therefore we have these mitzvahs of Pinyon HaBen, Pinyon Petach HaMor, etc. Okay, so that is this for now. We'll skip the last Ramban. We'll come back to it momentarily. But just, I caught a very nice Sforno, a very interesting take on the first couple of psukim of Bishalach. The parsha of Bishalach begins, Vahi Bishalach Paro es Amal and Acham Elokim Derech Eretz Poshtim Kikarov Hu Kiamar Elokim Penyachim Amber Samil Chma Vishavu Mitzrayim. So the Hashem wouldn't let them go the way of the Plishtim because it was close. For Hashem said, that they're going to repent and they're going to go back to Mitzrayim. So therefore they went a different way. They went derech Yamsuf, they went towards the Yamsuf. So I was always bothered by this. Well, first of all, so what's the regular pshat that Rashi gives, and Ramban, I think, is pretty much saying the same thing. What is the pshat in that section?
They're afraid that if they encountered war, they would get skittish.
Right, they're going to meet the Plishtim. Right, then the police—they're going to be scared of the Plishtim, and then they're going to run away. Right? And that's what the Ramban says as well. The Ramban explains that they were going to go to the land of Plishtim. The Plishtim were going to buy, the only way for them to get into the land of Israel is through the land of the Plishtim. And if they go through the land of the Plishtim, so then they're going to be stuck in war. Then instead of being staying in war, they're going to run away. So the Ramban actually asks, what about Amalek? They got to war with Amalek, they didn't run away. So first of all, they didn't have a choice. That was my thing. They didn't have a choice. They were already on the other side of the Yam Suf. The Yam Suf wasn't going to split again for them to run back to Egypt. But the Ramban explains that, well, that's different because there the Amalekites were attacking us, and we had no place to run. I mean, if we run, guess what they're going to do? They're going to run also, and they run faster than we do. So therefore, they had no choice but to fight them. But with the Palestinians, where they would have to go through their land, so they would just say, oh, we don't want to have this battle, and they're going to go back to Egypt.
Amalek attacked us from the rear, from behind.
So they attacked us from the rear. All right, we'll have to see exactly what that means. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, fine. They attacked us from the rear also. Fine. But anyway, so that's the standard take. So the Sforno, got two good Sfornos over the course of this shiur this morning. The Sforno says, no. Look carefully at the words. He didn't lead them where? I was always bothered by this. He didn't lead them to Plishtim. The land of the Plishtim is, where's the land of the Plishtim? You know where the land of the Plishtim is? It's in Israel. It's in Gaza, right? What do you mean that was too close? They'd have to cross the entire desert before getting there. That's a long way to go. What do you mean? The way it seems from this pasuk is, well, if they go that way, within 3 days they're going to be in Plishtim land. That's not true. Right? The Plishtim land is far up. Right, it's far north. And not only that, you could go along, instead of going into Gaza, just go anywhere into the land of Israel in the Negev and walk up north that way and go around that way. I was always bothered by this. What does this mean? That they had going into meeting the Palestinian. It is the shortest distance, but the way the Ramban made it seem is, well, you had no choice. If you go that way, you're going to meet them very soon. Well, it's not very soon. It's you have to cross the whole desert first before you end up in Gaza.
That might be,
but it also the way it seems is, well, you don't have a choice. If you go that way, you're not going to have a choice. You're going to have to meet. You're going to have to go that way. But that's not true. You go through the entire Negev is open to you, and walk up north through the middle of Egypt, through the middle of Israel. Go up through Be'er Sheva, you know, up that way instead of going through Gaza. So the Sforno then picks up on the, he doesn't ask that question explicitly, but he does pick up on the idea. Does it say that Hashem didn't lead them to the land of the Plishtim? What does it say?
Yeah.
What?
By way.
He didn't take them by way of the Plishtim, which literally means the Plishtim highway. Hashem didn't take them on the Plishtim highway, the way to get to the area of the Plishtim, because that was the road. That was probably the road that Yosef took. Right, it came down. That's the standard route that people take in order to get from Israel or the whole Middle East into Egypt, would be to go along that northern route. So the Sforno says, this is what Hashem didn't do. Hashem didn't want them to go, where is it? Hashem didn't want them to go on that highway. He wanted them to go towards the Yam Suf, to take a different route, to take a detour, rather than to go on the regular Plishtim highway. Why? Because if they go on the regular Plishtim highway, it's not that they're going to end up in the land of the Plishtim, it's that they're going to, there's all these people going back and forth, and they're going to hear the news. And what news are they going to hear? So they're going to be afraid of war. What war are they afraid of? So according to Rashi and the Ramban, they're afraid of having war with the Plishtim. Says the Sforno, no! B'shamam sheyachin paro es atzvo. They're going to hear that Paro is getting ready to fight against them. Lirdof achareyim, to chase after them. Im kolchila, with his whole army. Yinachim ma'am b'li safik miyeres milchamasam. They're going to be afraid of having war with the Egyptians. If they're on that highway, so they're going to stop at a rest stop, and the rest stop they're going to hear the truckers talking, and the truckers are going to be saying, what? Oh, we were just in Egypt, Paro's not happy, he's going to come after all these Jews. And they're going to get scared. And then what are they going to do? They're going to put their hands up and they're going to walk back to Egypt because they're afraid of having a war with the Egyptians. So therefore, says the Sforno, that was the war that they would have been afraid of. So therefore, he took them derech Hamidbar Yam Suf. They took them into the desert. Why? Sheyelchu li Yam Suf derech Hamidbar. They'll go to the Yam Suf of the Midbar. Kibioso aderech lo yavo magidim mi Mitzrayim. If they go that way, they're not going to hear the news. There's no cell phone reception over there. The rest stops are small. My impression, whenever I thought of rest stops, I always thought they looked like the ones on the New Jersey Turnpike, where there's a Starbucks and there's and the Cinnabon and all the five different stores and the bathrooms with the 30 different stalls to go into. Right, and then I drove to Phoenix. And that's not the way most rest stops look in the United States. You know, once you get out, you know, past Pennsylvania, you're really, these things barely have running water sometimes. You know, you're lucky if there's a soda machine. So you drive, right, they would go that way where they wouldn't meet anybody. And if they wouldn't meet anybody, so then they wouldn't hear the news that power's coming after them. So therefore they wouldn't know. And this photo says, and that's what happened. When did they find out that power was coming after them? When they saw Paro coming after them, and not before. That's the Sforno's pshat in that first pasuk. Right? A total change of what we're used to. Okay, but with this we turn to the Ramban, the famous Ramban on pasuk Tes Zayin. So this is, as we said, this is probably the most famous Ramban, as well. One of my rabbis would say, if you get stopped on the street and someone asks you this Ramban and you don't know the answer, please don't tell them that you know me. Right? So this is the Ramban that we need to that you need to know. So the Ramban says, first he explains what the word ultotafos beninacha. What does the word ultotafos mean? That the totafos is the meaning of tefillah. What does the word mean? So he brings proof that it means to drop. That it kind of drops in. That it's the thing that's left there, right, that we put down in order to remember the various things. So what are we trying to remember? So Ramban says famous words, V'nei shorosh ha-mitzvah zos, the source of this mitzvah, sh'naniach ksav yitzias mitzrayim, that we leave the story of yitzias mitzrayim on our hands and on our head, k'neged ha-lev ha-moach shehem mishkanos ha-machshava, which these are the main sources of our thought, that we put things on our arm, which is opposite our heart, and on our head, which is the way we think about the world. So therefore we have tefillin there to remember the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Then there's a few more paragraphs along those lines, and then he says, "V'yata Omer Lacha Klal B'tam Mitzvos Rabbos." And now I'm going to give you the rule with many, many different mitzvos. With this, we'll understand the reason for many mitzvos. Hinei mi'eis hayos al gabi avodas gelulim ba'olam mi'mei eno shechelu hadeos liyishtabish be'emunah. That since the time of Avodah Zarah, who started Avodah Zarah? So tradition is from the period of Enosh. That's the way the Rambam records it also, that Enosh was the one who came up with the idea of Avodah Zarah. Mayhem kofrim be'ikr ba'omrim ki olam kadmon, that there are those that denied the whole thing and said that the world always existed. Kachashu ba'Hashem v'yom lohu. So Hashem was concerned and said, that's not the case. Mayhem achishim b'diaso ha'pratis v'yomu eicha yada el v'yishtei be'elyon mayhem shiyundu b'yadia machishim ba'ashkacha v'yasu adam kedagi ayam shali yashiyach el ba'hem v'ini mam onish oschar. So one position was that there's no, that the world preceded God. Another position was that God may have created the world, but then God left the world. I mean, the agnostics, they say, well, God doesn't really, we're not really involved, we're just like fish swimming in the sea, where it doesn't really matter any things that we do. V'chasher yirtze Elokim be'eda o b'yachid v'yase imeha mofis b'shinui min hagu shel olam v'tavo yispar lakol bitul hadeos ha'ilat kol. This is when Hashem does a miracle in the world, when Hashem changes the teva of the world, so that makes it clear that Hashem is really running the world the entire time. I mean, it's not just that God runs the world when He makes miracles. God is running the world always. And the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, that's what indicates to us that God is running the world at all times as well. And especially when the miracle is predicted by a prophet, when the miracle is predicted by a Navi, so that makes it even more clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. That's an even greater Kiddush Hashem when the Navi says, when Navi calls it, and then it says, you know, wait for it, and then all of a sudden the sea splits. So that's pretty impressive. So therefore we have to know, therefore that's why all these miracles are connected to the idea of Leida as Hashem. By all these miracles, that's in order to know Hashem. What do you mean in order to know Hashem? Not just in order to know Hashem then, but in order to know Hashem forever. If God can make the water turn into blood, that means that what? That means God controls the water always. Right? And then he says, Avur HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yeyase osu mofsis b'chol dor l'nei kol rasha kofer. So Hashem doesn't do miracles for every rasha just to prove him wrong. I mean, Hashem doesn't do miracles for every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Yitzava osanus. Therefore, Hashem commanded us shenase tamid zikron v'os l'asher ro'i neinu, that we do many remembrances so that be remembered in our eyes. V'natik adavra al b'neinu uvneim l'vneim uvneim l'dor acharon, in order to teach it to our sons and our sons' sons and for all generations to come later on. So that's the idea of the of miracle. I mean, we have many miracles, we have many mitzvos to commemorate Yetzias Mitzrayim so that we remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that therefore serves to us as a serves us as a remembrance from all time of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's why many mitzvos. Therefore, it serves us as a for all generations as a testimony of the miraculous things that we shouldn't forget. There should be an opening of the mouth of the denier to deny the faith of Hashem. Therefore, we have the idea in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, you should be careful with the light mitzvos, like the strong mitzvos, because at all times, a person has to be modet to Hashem. A person has to recognize that Hashem is running the world. And that's the idea of all mitzvahs. So all mitzvahs really have the same purpose, to remind us that Hashem is running the world. And then he concludes with by saying, "Umin hanisim hagdom hamforsamim adam modet benisim hanistarim shem yisoda Torah kula." That from the great miracles that Hashem does, that everybody recognizes as miracles, we also recognize the hidden miracles as well. She'il adam chelik mataras Moshe Rabbeinu ad shenamin b'chol dvarenu umakrinu shekulam nisim in behem teva umidahagam shel olam. This is the controversial line that a person doesn't have a chelik in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu until he believes b'chol dvarenu mekarenu, with all of his words and his essence, that all of the words of the Torah shekulam nisim in behem teva umidahagam shel olam, that they're all miracles and there is really no teva in the world. Right, if we say that Hashem is, when Hashem runs the supernatural, it's just as miraculous as the natural, so that means that there's no such thing as natural. It means that everything Hashem is doing is totally involved with the Kadosh Baruch in the world, which means that Hashkacha Pratis is fully manifested at all times in the world. Hashem does nothing that happens in this world without Hashem running it. So that is the controversial line. Why? It's unclear whether it's true. Right, does Hashkacha Pratis really include that? Right, so we say yes, it is. It's just as miraculous that the sea can split as is that the sun rises in the morning and sets in the evening. But does that mean that everything is really ultimately under the control of Hashem? So that is unclear. So
why do we light the Hanukkah for 8 days instead of 7? The miracle was really 7 days.
Right.
But we light it up for the full 8 days.
Right. One of the reasons giving, right? The fact that you light out 1 day is a miracle.
It's also a miracle.
Yeah.
The what's natural is also a miracle.
Right. So we'll have to speak about that a little bit later this week. There is a story that Rabbi Dr. David Berger shares. I think I've shared this with us in the past. I think I actually found the article. Maybe we'll go through it for yesterday. This is a famous. The reason why this Ramban is very prominent is really for that line, is this whole theory in general. The reason there's so many things that are Yetzias Mitzrayim is, of course, we have to remember that. Why do we have to remember it? So why is that God care so much about us remembering his miracles? Because of the fact that we remember the miracles also indicates that everything else is really true and miraculous, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved with everything as well. And he says, and if you don't believe that, you're a kofer. So the problem is, the Dr. Berger tells a story. There was once at a bris in Brooklyn, and the person sitting next to him was asking him, "So, Nu, what are you working on?" And he's right, Dr. Berger. You know what I'm talking about. He teaches at Yeshiva University. He's a very involved in Jewish Catholic relations. He's considered the world expert on Jewish Catholic relations, at least from the Jewish team. He prominently wrote a book, a very anti-Chabad book about the messianism within Chabad. So that's why he's known in that in that world. And he's overall a very edel and wonderful person to get to know. So he tells the story that he was once at this bris, and someone asked him, what are you working on? And he said, oh, I'm actually working on whether the Ramban really believed that in the Hashkacha Pratis belief of the Ramban, that he really believed that everything is really running, or is there a natural order that can exist somewhat independent, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu may have set it up, but it, I mean, can things function outside of the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So somebody across the aisle said, who obviously knew this Ramban is the Aleph Beis, said, no, he said, no, that's Kfira. So Dr. Berger said, well, that might be, but the Ramban himself might have believed it. Because he said, no way, the Ramban couldn't have believed it. He said, no, well, actually, there is a Kol Kisvei HaRamban behind you, and if you would be so kind as to get that Kol Kisvei HaRamban, which has the rest of the other writings of the Ramban, I'll be happy to show you where the Ramban seems to indicate such beliefs. So the person responded by saying, I'm not getting it for you. Right? I'm not getting it for you. I'm denying that possibility, and we're going to hold this way. So so he has an article on that topic, which I tracked down. So maybe for most of the day, we'll try to understand exactly what the Ramban's perspective is on this. There is also a person who, Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz, who's a Rebbe in Shalvim now. So he sat next to me in the Beis Medrash for many years. I was very impressed when he published a book entitled Hashgacha Pratis, where he goes through the various perspectives on what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always in control. I think I have a share already on White Torah on this topic, various perspectives on, I forget what it's called, but I think I have a share on that, on this topic as well, so maybe we'll go through some of those in Yanim when we get to Friday. The starting point is this Ramban. That the Ramban says that everything really is controlled by Hashem, and the miracles are the proof that everything is really being within the control of the Yashbar. All right, we'll stop here. Have a good day.